Infernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
metalmayhemroc.com,
or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. As always, new content drops on Thursday nights, but this week it's dropping on Wednesday as we have an exclusive interview with Anthrax bass player Frank Bello. Those not up to the speed on what happened this past Friday night, Anthrax, Black Label Society, and Hatebreed had a show up here in Rochester, but unfortunately it was canceled after a four-song set by Hatebreed. Black Label never took the stage, neither did Anthrax. The cause? Bad support system on the stage. Welds broke. Tour manager decided, bands aren't playing. Let me bring on my metal brother from another mother, Metal Walt. Hey, Walt, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All good, Verno. Frank was a great discussion. He really was insightful. Just a regular down-to-earth guy, you know. You'll get a kick out of this, talk a little bit about our tri-state area roots and Italian food and a little bit about pre-show workouts, and it was a lot of fun, you know, pointing out to him all of the memorable shows I've seen through the years in the New York State area, and we talked about some cool little stories, so fun little session, and I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, it was good. You know, we've talked with Frank a couple times. He's a real cool dude. After the show Friday night, I actually texted him and asked him if we could do an impromptu interview then and there. He said, things are upside down, everything's crazy, but he said, you know, we'll be in touch, and he's a man of his word, and we're in touch. First, though, I want to remind you to get to the website, metalmayhemroc.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Join our community. Coming up later in the fall, we're going to be pivoting to an exclusive club with exclusive content and special offers to those in the ROC community. And one of those, I want to just read this before we get into this. We have a listener, Sam Bean. Sam Bean 666 writes, "Hey, I love the show. I listen every week. You guys have great content and it's very informative and entertaining. Thanks for having such an awesome show." Well, Sam, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time to actually send an email and tell us, hey, you're going in the right direction. And if it makes your life a little more fun and you enjoy it, a chance to escape, that's all we're doing here, gang. We're no better than anyone else. We're just out here to pump up the content, talk metal, and, you know, try to have some fun along the way. So, Sam Bean, thank you, and stay in touch. All right, well, let's get into this. Frank Bello, Anthrax, live from Quebec. He's on the tour bus, gives us the lowdown on the canceled Rochester show, and we take a walk down heavy metal memory lane. I'm the Vernomatic, my co-host, Metal Walt from New Jersey. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. Live from the road up in Canada, I believe, Frank Bello. Hey, Frank, thanks for joining us quickly today.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry, we had a little mishap with the internet, but now we're back in live, and I'm in the back of the tour bus, which I think should stay quiet. Who knows? We're playing the amphitheater, Three Rivers Amphitheater tonight, up here near Montreal, about an hour out, and it got very loud where I was attempting to do the interview, so I ran over here, so obviously I'm out of breath.
I'd like to introduce my co-host tonight, my good friend Metal Walt from New Jersey.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, Frank. We're brothers from the other side of the GW Bridge and the tunnel. We've probably been at Wohops down in Chinatown on Mott Street at some point in time together.
I know New Jersey very well. My wife is from Jersey City, so I've gotten lost in every exit over there, so no big deal.
When my wife and I met, she lived in Jersey City in the Heights up off Kennedy Boulevard.
Yeah, I've gotten tickets on Kennedy Boulevard. It's great.
That's exactly it.
Well, maybe there's a connection there. Maybe Teresa and Anna somehow, you know,
part of friends.
The tri-state area Italian-American connection. That's just how it goes.
That's the way it works.
Frank, congratulations on the tour. We're here today to do a little house cleaning. We're from Rochester, New York. We need to know the backstory, what happened up in Rochester last Friday night. Share as much.
The real story.
Don't hold anything back.
No, I'll give it to you straight. Hey, look, we were ready to play. I was literally stretching out for the show.
Yeah.
Our guys, it was a safety thing. They said the stage is sinking, literally sinking. As our friends Hatebreed were playing, I think Jamie even said it on stage.
He did.
The stage was sinking. And then they went underneath the stage. They have all proof here. They have a lot of pictures they had to take because of the show. They were breaking. I mean, things were not safe to hold the gear and the band. So look, we came all the way up there. We wanted to play. We were dying to play. 2 hours, I'm stretching for the show already. And our guy, our tour manager, comes in. I can't put you on that stage because it was a danger for everybody. Not only us, not only the band, but the crowd. We can't do that. So it was a liability. We had no choice. Even if we wanted to play, we had no choice. Things were going to break. They showed us the crack. There were cracked pieces underneath the stage. They have documented like pictures. And look, you know us, man. We don't cancel shows unless it's serious.
Yeah.
And plus, we had, because of sickness, like a couple of weeks ago, we had to put a couple of shows down. So the last thing we went through was cancel another show. It was out of our hands. So we feel bad for everybody. Believe me, I want to come back. I want to do it right. We all do. We all, because we were there all day hanging out. I went down walking the streets. I had some coffee in the great coffee shop. And all of a sudden, there's no show. So it's kind of, you know, what happened, man? You know?
Well, I got a couple questions. Whose stage is it? Who's responsible for it? And how did something like that happen? Did it happen while Jamie and Hatebreed were playing? Because they only play. I was there, and it was hot as fuck. It was like 200 degrees in there. So how does that happen?
I don't, quite honestly, dude, as I'm talking to you right now, honestly, all I can do is be honest with this. All I know is I was stretching for the shows 2 hours before the show, ready. As I do, I get a pre-warm-up and stuff, get going, get your blood up and all that. And out of nowhere, they did line checks and everything. All of a sudden, apparently, somebody came in and says the stage is sinking in. That's all I heard. And then they took it. The powers that be took it from there, and it's beyond the band at that point. You know, it's safety, all that stuff. All I can just tell you as a band member, I felt like shit. Like, I can't believe we're not going to be able to play. You know, at 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was. You know, getting hyped for the show all day, hanging out, and all of a sudden you just can't do it because of something like that. I just felt bad for the fans, for everybody there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened with the stage, to be honest with you. But that's all I was told.
All right. Well, you know what? That's got it from the source. So maybe chalk it up for bad luck, bad timing. Maybe
whatever. Things happen. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, the stage, they told us that the stage wasn't safe enough for us to play. That's all we know. And that's as honest as I could be with you. So whatever that means, I don't know, to be honest. All I know is I'm the bass player in Anthrax. I do a job. That's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're going to put this story to rest, but I do want to give props to my fellow metalheads in Rochester for not going GNR, not, you know, right, causing a ruckus outside. I do have some friends that work local, and they said some, you know, knuckleheads were trying to jump the barrier backstage, where outside the armory. But, you know, hey, if there was a consolation, it was we didn't have to stay in that heat box because it was brutal.
It was hot.
It was hot.
But you know what? That would have been a pleasure if it all worked out. I love sweating. So you want to give a good show. Look, at the end of the day, everybody feels bad about it, right? Things happen. This is life. Look, we're lucky enough to be playing during COVID time. That's the way I look at it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it didn't happen. You guys, all our fans, we love you, the fans in Rochester, as we do everywhere else. We'll be back. You know that.
Yep.
So, and we'll do it right, and everything will be taken care of, and we'll have a great rocket show. How about that?
All right. Put the rest. Thank you. Metal Walt, you got a list of stuff. Where you want to go with Frank? What do you got to ask him?
Yeah. So, you know, Frank, maybe just in a casual sense, like, I believe this is the first full tour you guys have done since COVID, correct? So Just give the listeners a flavor. How's the tour been? Like, how is it after all this time to get ramped up for a tour and you got to get your bodies in shape and practice, get in the mental space, get on the road, you know? And then next thing you know, it's over. I mean, right?
Yeah, dude, great question. To be honest, you know, I don't care how much workout you do. Like, I'm a yoga guy and all, because I have to be, because my back and all that stuff. I don't care how much working out you do at home. The stage is a different animal. So it took me a couple of shows to get into, you know, stretching and all that other stuff. And this tour has been great. Number one, the capacity of people. There's so many people coming out to these shows. If it's not sold out, it's usually packed. So it's been a great run attendance-wise. So people are coming out to shows, which is really great to see. Being safe, being careful, having a good time, right? The shows, the three bands, this is, for me, it's just a great pack because we're all friends. We know these guys forever. The Hatebreed guys, you know, Black Label. So it's a very fun atmosphere backstage. And then we all watch each other's shows and cheer each other on. So it's a great, great vibe. And I'm kind of sorry to see it end because it's done so well and we've had such a blast. Like we end this this Sunday in Philadelphia. There's even talk already, because it's done so well, about another leg sometime in the future. So I hope we do that.
So Walt, are you doing the Coney Island show this weekend?
Yeah. So Frank, I wanted to ask you about that one because that's the local show down here by us, and on Friday. I mean, that's a homecoming show for you of sorts. I mean, I'm psyched for that one. I mean, out on the boardwalk on the, you know, Coney Island, you got the cyclone and the big Ferris wheel in the sky. And, you know, it takes me back to all the shows I've seen you guys through the last 20, 30 years in the clubs. And, I mean, you're really right down the street from Lemoore. So tell us, there's got to be a side of the band that's really, really looking forward to this show on Friday night, right on the beach and the outside and all that other stuff.
I'll be honest with you, bro. It's fun. You think about a New York show, the homecoming. You want to know the biggest issue is? The big pain in the ass that the guest list is. That is because I don't care, you know, where we play in New York, somebody from my family is going to be mad at me. That's the bottom line, because they didn't get on the right pass. They didn't get, you know, this is a COVID tour. So we're being careful about, we have what they call a bubble touring. So nobody's allowed backstage. So how many people, it's just to keep safe, right? So how many people are going to be upset that they can't be here and they don't have the right seat, they don't have the right pass? So the stress of that alone, I love playing the show. The guest list, fucking hate it. It's such a pain in the ass, the guest list, because family, friends, who's going to be mad at you? Who doesn't get the right whatever? Who cares? I just want to play the show, honestly, because I think it's going to be great. I've never been, and here's a New Yorker speaking, I've never been to Coney Island in my life.
You've never been to Coney Island?
I've never been to Coney Island in my life. Funny enough. I'm thinking back. I can't remember a time, but I'm looking forward to that. I heard this is a great place to play. It'll be at least an hour to an hour and a half from my house to this place. So I'll be coming. I have a day off tomorrow, so I'm going to go home for the day and then go to the show and see my family and then go to the show on Friday.
Anything special planned for Friday? You know, maybe pull out a couple rarities.
Well, we're talking like about that. Some things. We're talking about some fun things, but it wouldn't be fun if I told you now, right? But there are some extra stuff going on there. There's some extra stuff going on that we're planning that we hope that comes through for us. We'll see.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Speaking of extra stuff, so you end this tour and then you get over to the UK, and we're doing an abbreviated the 41st year, celebrating the 40 year of Anthrax. Quickly regroup and tell us what's going on with the Anthrax camp, the new album, the tour overseas. Who are you touring with? What's the plans for the fall with all that? Same package?
Well, no, we're going over Municipal Waste. You know, Municipal Waste, yep, great band. Yep. Yeah. And as of now, I just heard yesterday, our friends and sworn enemy have been added, which is awesome. They're good friends of mine also. So it's a great package over there. You know, it's funny because I'm still on this, thinking of that. It's like two different worlds. All I'm looking forward to is that little span of time to be with my family for a little while and then jumping back on a plane. But I don't mind it because it's been a long time. Our UK fans are awesome, so European fans are great. It's always been fun. We We haven't been there in forever. It feels like I'm really looking forward to it. It's weird. I got to be honest with you, getting back into the flow of touring, right? After what we've all been through, all of a sudden there's another tour that you know, and these days, guys, you know this, these days, something like a tour could be pulled out from right underneath you. You have no idea from the bigger powers that be than us, but you know, and we have no idea about it, but we're hoping everything goes straight, right? We're hoping everything runs, right? So, but we don't know because it's such a crazy world right now.
That's a great point, because I just read the background on that postponed Striper tour. They had a tour booked, but they had to pull out of it until spring of 23 or next summer because there's no buses. The buses are three times as much. The availability, they could literally not afford to do it in this landscape. Have you guys ran into some of those supply chain problems with buses, union people working, putting on the shows?
Yeah, dude, as we're talking right now, I have no idea. I hope right now I have my ticket to the UK. Right? I know I have a plane ticket that gets me there. I can't tell the future, as you can tell. None of us know what can be pulled out from whenever, because that's touring in 2020. The real truth of it all is 2022 touring is unbeknownst to all of us. It really is, because it's bigger than us, this whole thing where, yeah, you're talking monies and stuff like that, promoters. It gets into that other side of the business side. Mm-hmm. We want to play. I can tell you the band is hungry as hell to play, but we want everything to work, but sometimes things don't. And so I'm going, as we speak today, I'm hoping that I can get on the plane to the UK and play, right? But I'm itching to play, but I don't look too far ahead now because of the environment we're in, you know?
Yeah.
But I know it's booked. I want to rock out. I want to have a great time. But when hopefully things get better for everybody soon, you know? I know those guys in Striper. They're great guys. They're nice guys. I understand it. I do.
I want to expand on what Walt asked you about getting back into the flow of things. It's a personal question. After all that time home with your son Anthony and Teresa, what's that?
My son is Brandon.
Oh, Brandon, your late brother's cool. Anthony.
My brother's Anthony. Yeah. All good.
Were they like, oh, okay, Dad, Pops, you know, it's time for you to get back on the road, even though you can't?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. At home, I tried to become Mr. Fix-It, which I am not. I suck. I realize how much of – I'm a musician, so I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my hands other than playing bass. So I tried everything in the house. I can't touch – look, my wife forbids me to touch electric and plumbing, right, because that's just dangerous stuff. But everything else, I've tried and broken pretty much everything in the house, and I had to hire a person to come fix my ass. That's exactly what's going on. So, but that whole thing, it was great being home with the family that long. But Anthrax is a touring live band.
Yeah.
And the problem is not, you know, this is the longest we've ever had off. We've never done this, right? To have this little flavor back of touring, being in the tour bus as I am right now, is great. And you really get to really see how grateful and how lucky we are to do this. And so, yeah, it's great to be home with the family, but at the same time, this is what we do. So it's really nice to get back, and I can't wait to get back. But we don't have to worry about the next phase or the next, you know, sickness that's going to come out. And because everybody's tired of that. We're all tired of it. We all just want to live our lives now. So hopefully we can get back to that in a real way where the monies and all that stuff work out for everybody, all the bands. I want everybody to get out there and play again and watch great shows. I think it's important.
To the flip side, while you guys were all quarantined, you're happy to get out on the road, because while we couldn't go see artists like you during quarantine, knuckleheads like us started a podcast because we had nothing else to do and picked out our old concert t-shirts and our old ticket stubs and our old bootleg tapes. And we revisited the past. And that's, you know what? We're just as excited to have this new form out there now too.
Yeah, well, yeah, you guys are spreading the word. That's the way I look at it. You're like the ambassadors of this stuff. I just never forget I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan first. I would never forget that, and I'll die a fan. You know, I'm lucky enough to play in this band and write music for people that they like, and that's all great. I'm very grateful for that. But I'll always be a fan. And so when we connect like we are right now, you guys and me right now, I think that's great. We're just three fans talking, right? I think that's great about the music that's been so good to us. I love this. I'll never forget where I came from. I think it's very important.
Well, thank you, because you know we do a lot of this. We're approaching our 4-year anniversary, and we've taken.
Congratulations.
Thank you, and we you know it started as you know a couple knuckleheads talking, but yeah. It's really grown to, you know, we've spoken a few times, and it's we do the, you know, the bigger guys, and like last week I sat down with Dave Overkill from Destructor. And if you remember Destructor from back in the day, and these guys are still doing it. They're in Mexico with Nasty Savage. And
that's awesome.
It is awesome. And but Metal Waltz taking a walk down heavy metal memory lane. Waltz, show Frank what you have from the vaults.
Well, before I show him what's in the vaults, you made a point earlier, Frank, where you said to the Rochester fans, don't worry, it's a shitty situation and a bummer, but we'll be back. So I looked at my Excel file and list of how many Anthrax shows I've attended amongst the other billion metal shows. And believe it or not, I've seen you guys 22 times.
Wow, dude. Well, thank you. That's incredible. That's amazing. Thank you. Well, very cool, man.
And I want to make a couple remarks to some of the shows I've seen, because there were a lot of special ones. And I'm sure I'd love to get some of your comments on some of these. But I will pull this one out. This one is in my closet.
You're not on my screen. Just so you know, I can't see you on my screen.
Okay. Well, I'm holding up the Satan's Lounge Band shirt from L'Amour, dated December 1989. I was at the one with the snowstorm. If you recall, there were Friday and Saturday night, and there was a blizzard. Yes. I was at that one, and I got there through the roads of Jersey. I was 19 years old, so that was just one special show. But
that's crazy. It's a feather.
You guys have done a lot of special shows in the New York area. That one was definitely a special one. I saw you more recently play the St. Vitus Bar. If you remember the St. Vitus Bar gig that you did, that was a good one. I was at the New York Steel show right after 9/11. So tell us about some of these gigs, your memories of them.
You know, the great thing about those kind of shows, the Satan's Lounge Bands, those were secret shows, but everybody knew about it, right? It was always fun. You put some different songs in the set list, and all of a sudden it becomes this really cool thing. The vibe in that place, even though it was a crazy storm outside, was so intense. I remember that specifically. It was insane. Those were great shows. So Gilda's Place, we did the one in Brooklyn, which was awesome. That was for a great cause.
The covers album that time around, too. You were pulling out some different ones on that. I remember you pulling off Me and Knights at the show I saw and that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was a good one.
And the fun thing about that is pulling out those songs to make it a little extra special. And you're just seeing what we do in soundcheck and stuff. When we jam, when Anthrax, the band jams, we'll jam anything, but it seems like anything but Anthrax until we have to, right? Because this is the stuff we grew up on and we're fans of. Again, you're talking about a bunch of guys in a band that are just fans of the music and love it to death. So why not just keep pouring it out there, right?
So tell us about the new Anthrax that's coming out. I've heard some quotes lately, I think by yourself, saying, listen, we're not going to release it until it's ready and you're taking some time.
Right. Probably the person that set this interview up, Heidi, would kill me, our publicist. She says she would kill me if I kept talking about it. But like, what I can tell you is this. Yeah. Yes, there will be an Anthrax record when it's ready. And when we have time to get together, because this COVID thing really put a damper on everything, we like to get together and jam, you know, and make sure the songs are right. And we do have a number of songs that I'm very excited about. And yes, there will be. It's very heavy, very what we want it to be. Very psyched about the future.
I'm psyched, and you're right about Heidi. I've spoken with her a couple times, but listen. I've watched some videos of yours, and you're normally down in your cave in your basement, and I notice you have some Kiss memorabilia there. I don't know if you're familiar with Gene Simmons' Moneybag Soda.
Of course I am. Of course. I actually have somebody just gave me a bottle. I have it in my dressing room case.
Good, because I've become friends with the two Niagara Falls bottlers that teamed up with Gene. They're two brothers that were Kiss fans, met Gene somewhere, gave him a card. Next day, Gene's calling him up, and now, you know, they're partners in Moneybag. So I was going to, you know, I wasn't sure if you had any. We're going to send you some if you needed
some. Yeah, you know what? But yeah, I will always take it because, look, I'm a fan of Gene, obviously. He wrote the foreword to my book. You know, he's one of the best heroes of my in my life.
Yeah.
He's always been there for Anthrax. He's always been a proponent of Anthrax. He's just one of those. We actually have him in the, we have a video that runs before the show. He's actually in it talking about Anthrax in a very real, beautiful way. So, Gene, Kiss, you guys know how big a Kiss fan.
Yeah.
We're diehard. And how many covers of Kiss songs we've done? it's been quite the. We could probably do a whole record of Kiss covers that we have out already.
Well, besides being the gateway to metalheads across the world, it's in the New York City DNA. I think you know, you guys. And the last time we talked, you shared all those stories about hanging outside the recording studio. That's legendary. So,
yeah. Hey Frank, on the Gene Simmons note, I remember the first time you came through New York City with John Bush. That you played a little club called The Grand, that I remember seeing Gene walk up at the end, and he kind of just came out and he got right behind you, you know, about 6 feet towards two, and he just, I think he got up there and you played bass and he just sung, I think it was either She or Parasite right behind you. Yeah. So that was another one of those memories, right?
Great memory, dude. Yeah. It's funny, you just mentioned John Bush. Today's his actual birthday. I already texted him. Happy birthday, John Bush.
Oh, yeah.
He's still one of the best people on the earth. I love him.
I was excited that you're including Only in the set this fall or this summer.
I'll be honest, man, it's going over great. People will love it. I mean, they sing the songs louder than us, which is awesome. So have fun with it. So it's a long time coming. We wanted to mix up the set, which people are really finding refreshing on this tour. There's a lot of different kind of eras we went into, which was nice. People are really digging the set, including us.
Well, we're going to let you get going because you got to get ready for the Quebec show. Any parting shots?
People of Rochester, we will be back. Look, it broke our hearts. Believe me, if I was stretching for the show, you know we were ready for the show. Unfortunately, things happen in this life that we can't control. But we will be back harder than ever, of course. And we'll do it right? We'll get it right, and we'll have a great time. You've always been there for us. We'll be there for you always, as usual. So let's have a good time.
I'll let Walt say goodbye. Safe travels. Good luck. I hope the shows work, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, too, bro.
Frank, it was great talking to you, bud. Good. I feel like that New York, New Jersey connection was right there. And good luck the rest of the tour. And I will see you at some point, I'm sure.
Okay, man. You take care of yourself. Be safe, guys, okay?
You too, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Cheers.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.